Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, Mary's Prayer.
Our first reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning at verse 46. Let us listen to God's word for us. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he had made to our ancestors, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Amen."
Our second lesson is the familiar story told by Luke of the birth of our Lord. Let's listen together to this, the word of our Lord. "In those days, a decree went out from the Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors.' When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us.' So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in a manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful, wonderful story. And as we reflect upon it now, we would pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts together might find acceptance in your sight. For it is you and you alone we desire to please, through the Christ child, the child of Bethlehem, our Savior and Lord, in whose name we have the privilege of praying. Amen. As familiar as we are with this story, it would be relatively easy for us to forget that Mary and Joseph were real people. In our hearing and telling and retelling of this story, we could easily start to think of them as being as plastic as are the Mary and Joseph in our nativity sets on the mantle in the living room, or as ceramic or as make-believe as any of the action figures. No, Mary and Joseph were very real people, as real as you and I, as real as shepherds and sheep, as real as is the city of Nazareth and the village of Bethlehem. So we mustn't forget that while this story is ultimately about the fulfillment of God's great plan of salvation in the birth of the promised Messiah, It is also very much the story of the birth of a little boy to a very real mom and dad in a very real place at a very real time in history. And whatever else these newly minted first-time parents may have known, or we think they may have known, or we think they had been told about this child, or whatever we think they did know about this child, this we need to know for certain. In that moment, on that day, in that place, they were simply newborn parents. I'm sorry, new parents holding a newborn child. Nothing more and nothing less. I mention this because if we fabricate this story too much of Jesus' birth, we can forget the very real struggles which faced their parents and the world into which he was born. We can tend to forget that Mary was unwed when she was visited by an angel telling her of her pregnancy. We can forget that Joseph, being the righteous man that he was, struggled with what he should do with this news, until it was finally determined by the visit of another angel that he should proceed with this marriage. We tend to forget that Nazareth was a small town and that rumors likely spread there and then about this family and this child, just as they would here and now. If we idealize this birth too greatly, we will tend to forget that Mary and Joseph had to make the arduous 100-mile journey from Nazareth in the north to Bethlehem in the south. Joseph had to go there to his ancestral home, presumably because the Emperor Augustus needed additional tax money and young men to serve in the military, and so he called for a census. Now, there are several routes to take from Nazareth to Bethlehem. None of them are easy. All of them will require an 8 to 10 day journey. The most difficult would be the mountainous, rugged path. The other two natural routes would be flatter, more even, but longer still. Needless to say, any way they went, it was a difficult journey. You might even say a dangerous journey under any circumstances, much less when you're 9 months pregnant. When the time comes for her child to be born, every mother wants to be in a quiet, clean, familiar place to make her delivery, and Mary would have been no different. Yet here she finds herself far from home, not even in a room, but in a cow shed or a cave surrounded by strangers and animals. And rather than being able to rest and enjoy the birth of her newborn son, they are visited by a gaggle of shepherds who are over the top excited about all they had heard and seen about this promised Messiah. And as exciting as it all was, and I'm sure it really was, it would benefit us greatly to remember that Mary and Joseph were real people, not the plastic figurines we tend to make them out to be. The gospel writer Luke reminds us of this in a very subtle way as he tells his story of Jesus' birth. Even as he describes the scene and the setting, the angels and the chorus, the visit of shepherds and the amazement of all the people, he very subtly slips in this line. But Mary treasured all of these words and pondered them in her heart. In the midst of all the excitement and all that they were being told, it is very likely that Mary was thinking about other things and wondering what all of this meant. Every mother, every parent wonders at the newborn child lying fast asleep in their arms. Who are you, little one? What will life bring to you? What joys, what sorrows, what will you grow to be? While that's every parent's question, it is perhaps Mary's question in particular as she treasures what she's being told about her son and then ponders these things in her heart. No doubt she still remembers what the angel told her when he called her the favored one, saying, "The child that you carry will be called Great, and the Son of the Most High, heir of the throne of David, ruler of a kingdom without end." Oh, who are you, little one? You who will be called holy and Son of God. Surely she also remembered the prayer she sang when she greeted her cousin Elizabeth, herself pregnant through miraculous means. She sang out, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary had much, not only to treasure, but also to ponder as she looked at the little one resting peacefully in her arms, despite all the commotion going on around him. Author and pastor Max Lucado captures the essence of that moment beautifully in a piece he's written titled Mary's Prayer. It's taken from his book, God Came Near. God, O infant God, heaven's fairest child, conceived by the union of divine grace with our disgrace, sleep well. Sleep well, bask in the coolness of this night, bright with diamonds. Sleep well, for the heat of anger simmers nearby. Enjoy the silence of the crib, for the noise of confusion rumbles in your future. Savor the sweet safety of my arms, for a day is soon coming when I cannot protect you. Rest well, tiny hands, for though you belong to a king, you will touch no satin, own no gold. You will grasp no pen, guide no brush. No, your tiny hands are reserved for works more precious, to touch a leper's open wound, to wipe a widow's weary tear, to claw the ground of Gethsemane. Your hands, so tiny, so tender, so white, clutched tonight in an infant's fist, they aren't destined to hold a scepter or wave from a palace balcony. They're reserved instead for a Roman spike that will staple them to a Roman cross. Sleep deeply, tiny eyes. Sleep while you can, for soon the blurriness will clear and you will see the mess we've made of your world. You'll see our nakedness, for we cannot hide. You'll see our selfishness, for we cannot give. You'll see our pain, for we cannot heal. O eyes that will see hell's darkest pit and witness her ugly prince, sleep. Please sleep. Sleep while you can. Lay still, tiny mouth. Lay still, mouth from which eternity will speak. Tiny tongue that will soon summon the dead, that will define grace, that will silence our foolishness. Rosebud lips upon which ride a star-born kiss of forgiveness to those who believe you, and of death to those who deny you, lay still. And tiny feet cupped in the palm of my hand, rest, for many difficult steps lie ahead for you. Do you taste the dust of the trails you will travel? Do you feel the cold sea water upon which you will walk? Do you wrench at the invasion of the nail you will bear? Do you fear the steep descent down the spiral staircase into Satan's domain? Rest. Tiny feet. Rest today that so that tomorrow you might walk with power. Rest, for millions will follow in your steps. And little heart, holy, pumping the blood of life through the universe, how many times will we break you? You'll be torn by the thorns of our accusations. You'll be ravaged by the cancer of our sin. You'll be crushed under the weight of our own sorrow, and you'll be pierced by the spear of our rejection. And yet in that piercing, in that ultimate ripping of muscle and membrane, in that final rush of blood and water, you will find rest. Your feet, your hands will be freed. Your eyes will see justice. Your lips will smile. And your feet will carry you home. And there you will rest again, this time in the embrace of your Father. During the season of Advent, we have been preparing for this celebration of this holy day and this holy birth. And in doing so, we've been reflecting on a quote by the theologian Helmut Thielicke when he says, "The crib and the cross are made from the same wood." And I think Lucado's poem captures the import of that beautifully. Perhaps our tying of his birth and his death and resurrection together is why I inadvertently ended the benediction last week by wishing everyone a happy Easter. I don't know what came over me. But I will say that I've gotten more comments about that benediction than any sermon I've ever preached. But it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? That this little child lying in a rough-cut manger, which has been repurposed into a crib, is the same one we will call Savior and Lord as he hangs on a Roman cross on Calvary and as he rises from the grave on the Easter morning. So let's never forget, or better, let us always remember that just as Mary and Joseph are real people, so is this child named Jesus real as well. As real, perhaps more real than anyone who has ever walked the face of the earth. Who are you, little one, is the question his mother pondered as she treasured these words spoken to her by angels and shepherds. Who are you is the question many still ask today. He is Jesus, the child of Bethlehem who grew to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jesus, the one we call Savior and Lord. And this, friends, is the good news of the Christmas day, which we, like Mary, have been given both to treasure and to ponder. Amen. And let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for this gracious gift that you have given to us in the birth of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Help us as we remember his birth this day also to remember his life, his teaching, his death, and his glorious resurrection. May we recommit ourselves this day to following in his way, to his honor and glory. We pray it through Christ, Lord, hear our prayer.